from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo observed Heroes Days in Bandung. Vice President Yusuf Kala encourages prospective diplomats to increase economic cooperation. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo presided over a function to commemorate Heroes Day, which is observed every November in Cikutra Hero Cemetery on Saturday. He and entourage arrived at the cemetery at the 8 a.m. local time. As quoted by Antar News Agency, President Joko Widodo acted as an inspector of ceremony in the commemoration of Heroes Day. He laid a wreath at the monument to the national heroes and put flowers on the graves of several fallen heroes. Some members of the presidential entourage joining the ceremony were Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anund, Head of the Presidential Staff Muldoko, Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto, Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, Chief of the Indonesian Forces General Hadi Cayanto, and Chief of Indonesian Police General Tito Karnavian. Vice President Yusuf Kala gave a briefing to 22 Indonesian prospective ambassadors for friendly countries. Antara News Agency reported that spokesman of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Nasir, said on Friday that during the briefing, Vice President Yusuf Kala encouraged the prospective diplomats to increase economic and trade cooperation. This is aimed at increasing exports. In addition, Vice President Yusuf Kala also emphasized that Indonesian diplomats could contribute to maintain peace and they could also maintain the positive image of Indonesian nation in foreign countries. Armananta added that over 1 week, the prospective ambassadors were briefed by ministries and agencies. He also explained that there was no political message delivered by Vice President Yusuf Kala at the event. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, while attending the United Nations Day 2018 at the National Museum in Jakarta on Friday, emphasized that the United Nations is still relevant with the life of many countries in the world nowadays, which is experiencing uncertainty. She also said that the theme of the UN's agenda, the UN asked engaging people in the realization of 2030 Sustainable Development Agenda, has a hold for all people's elements that become part of the United Nations.
Tema ini menunjukkan harapan upaya bahwa UN itu.
The team saw the effort of the UN because it is close to us. There is uncertainty in the world about anything. Thus, we are glad the theme of this year is to show that the existence of the UN is so relevant. Then we hope that the UN has functioned to keep the world peace and create the world welfare. Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi also explained that Indonesia has succeeded in fulfilling several targets of the Sustainable Development Goals SDGs based on the theme of the UN Day 2018, namely eradicating poverty and improving clean water access and health service. Minister Retno also said relative to the eradicating poverty, there is a decrease of one digit, which is now 9.8% in 2018. And it is the lowest number since Indonesia gained its independence. Meanwhile, to fulfill clean water access in Indonesia, the government has achieved the target reaching 76.44%, whereas to health service Indonesia through national assurance system has covered 77.78%. Program Specialist for UNESCO Social Knowledge and Humanities Unit in Jakarta, Irakli Kodeli, said in Pekanbaru on Friday that the result of the series of UNESCO Most Academy will be taken to higher level, including to the government level. He also explained that UNESCO Most Academy will provide a model of social transformation, especially related to the control of smoke pollution, that opened a course in Indonesia. The UNESCO Most Academy has gathered a number of participants who come from various backgrounds regarding the handling of smoke pollution due to the forest fires. Thus, he hopes the UNESCO Most results will have a wider impact on handling smoke pollution.
We put together a model of sustainable transformation from haze to a healthy environment. Mm-hmm. And this model will be based on lessons learned from this project. Mm-hmm. What has worked, so we have an evidence of what has worked. We will then convene the key stakeholders in Jakarta. This is the Ministry of Forest and Natural Resources, Ministry that deals with agriculture, education, Ministry of Education and Culture, Ministry of Health, Peatland Restoration Agency, the people that deal with fire, MPA villages, the villages that fight fire. And so we bring them together, we demonstrate this model, and we decide how to take this to a higher level. Again, higher level means a broader scope, wide dissemination for higher impact, so that we actually can reverse the tide of haze happening.
Furthermore, Irakli Kodeli said that Indonesia is predicted to be affected by El Nino in the coming years. Thus, the model for handling the smoke pollution produced by UNESCO Most Academy must be brought to a higher level discussion so that Indonesia can reduce the adverse effects of El Nino's arrival in the coming years, including the effects of smoke pollution from forest fires. The Minister of Education and Culture will hold the 2018 Cultural Congress at the Minister of Education and Culture Senayan in Jakarta on 7 until 9 December. Director General of Culture at the Minister of Education and Culture, Hilmar Fahri, said that the Congress is a historical congress because it coincides with 100 years after the first Culture Congress in 1918. During the launch of the 2018 Cultural Congress in Jakarta Friday, Hilmar said that the aim of holding Indonesian Cultural Congress is to formulate a cultural strategy, which is the direction of President Joko Widodo. For the first time in the history of Indonesian nation, the formulation of this cultural strategy comes from the grassroots. This cultural strategy is not only the decision of experts, humanists or academics, but also collective intelligence. This cultural strategy will be determined by President Joko Widodo on December 9th.
The cultural strategy is certainly general, making outlines about the promotion of culture for 20 years. Is a conceptual foundation that must be translated into operational steps. These operational steps will be contained in the master plan for promoting culture according to the mandate of Article 14 of Law Number 5/2018. All this is the main reference. In the future, we will make policies in the field of culture.
Hilmar Farid further emphasized that the process of promoting culture does not stop at the cultural strategy stage. The next stage will be the main reference in the preparation of medium and long-term development plan. This is important because the medium and long-term development plan is a reference for government programs or working plans every year. In other words, the contribution of the promotion of culture to the people's progress is to make culture as direction of Indonesian development. He added that the final vision in advancing culture is quite simple, namely towards an independent, suffering, just and prosperous Indonesia. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto and Director General of United Nations Industrial Development Organization UNIDO Lee Yong signed the 2016-2020 Country Amendment Program Cooperation. Minister Erlangga, through an official statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Friday, stated that the cooperation would be expanded such as related to the cassava-based packaging activities. Because sustainability is now the main issue in the circular economy concept, Lee Yeon hopes that the representatives of the Asia-Pacific countries who attended the Regional Development Conference on Industry that took place in Bali from 8 until 9 November could take advantage of this important opportunity in facing Industry 4.0. Take, for example, it's through the collaborative efforts between Indonesia and UNIDO to carry out several new visions and strategies about Industry 4.0 in building economic growth. He also supports other countries to connect with Industry 4.0. Meanwhile, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Ian Fasir, stated that UNIDO is an UN organization that helps developing countries in increasing the capacity of industrial sector. The last item, Indonesia held the first fact-finding mission on Switzerland fintech or financial technology to Switzerland following a change in the economic and financial landscapes, as the technology offers various opportunities while increasing potential risk. The Indonesian embassy in Bern made the remarks in a statement received by Antara News Agency on Friday. Fintech is believed to be able to support the development of financial inclusion and efficiency, yet it can also pose risk to consumers and investors. The mission is in line with the Bali Fintech Agenda, which was held at the IMF and World Bank annual meeting in Bali from October 8 until 14, 2018. The fact-finding mission on Switzerland Fintech held by Indonesian Embassy in Bern saw the participation of 30 stakeholders for Indonesian Fintech ecosystem, consisting of regulators, industrial players, businesses, banks, and chamber of commerce. The Indonesian delegation engaging in financial institutions are like the Financial Service Authority OJK and Bank Indonesia BI, as well as business people from online trading platforms such as Bukalapak, Impestri, Amarta Micro Fintech, state-owned banks, Islamic banks, and community credit banks from all over Indonesia. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
This is RRI VOI with news from the country that presents interesting information from around Indonesia within a week. Begin with news from Bandung, West Java. Lembang Training Center, BLK, created a smart farming application to answer the challenge of digitalizing the Industrial Revolution 4.0. This Android-based application can facilitate farmers because it uses the Internet of Things, IoT. Head of Lembang BLK, Aan Subhan, via a press release on Thursday, said that IoT will be able to communicate objects around through an internet network. According to him, this application will facilitate the work of the farmers. Aan revealed that the training center would collaborate with the village government and create a smart farming pilot village. Lembang MBLK instructor Iwan Herman Wan, as the innovation team explained, by optimizing IoT and creating smart farming applications, in the future, Indonesian farmers can control their fields through smartphones. With a smart farming application, according to him, farmers can do watering and fertilizing by pressing the button on the smart farming application on smartphones only. The next news came from Muntok, Bangka Belitung. The government of West Bangka Regency, Bangka Belitung Islands Province, launched an electronic library program to increase reading interest in the community, especially the younger generation in the area. Deputy Regent of West Bangka, Markus said that the electronic library would make it easier for people to get quality reading resources according to their wants and needs wherever and whenever. He said the electronic library launched by regional government through the Regional Archives and Library Service of West Bangka Regency was a new innovation in responding to the needs of the community at this time. Improvements in the pattern of service to the community will continue to be improved to adjust current needs as an effort to increase public interest in reading. According to him, the reading culture needs to be continuously improved because by reading it will be broadened horizon and knowledge. One of the efforts to realize the reading culture is that every year, the district government organizes Gebiar Bangka Barat reading activities and various literacy competitions. The latest news came from East Kalimantan. The archaeological research collaboration carried out by the National Archaeology Research Center, Griffith University, and the Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, revealed the 40,000-year-old world's oldest figurative painting in the karst mountains of Sangkulirang, Mangkalihat, East Kalimantan. Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi, during a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday, said that the painting is the oldest hand painting in the world and shows that Indonesian civilization has advanced since ancient times. The figurative painting consists of various objects such as bull paintings, hands to anthropomorphic forms. The rock image has three chronological phases, namely the oldest style that is 40,000 years old, characterized by a very large reddish orange animal figure. The second phase is hand stencil with a point or line motif that forms a picture of a tree, which may be a symbol of family relations. The final stage, which is 4,000 years old, is characterized by anthropomorphic shapes, and geometric designs that are usually executed in black pigments. Minister of Education and Culture said he would propose that the painting could become a World Heritage. Meanwhile, the head of the Archaeological Research Center, I. Made Geria, said that the findings confirmed the view that rock images did not develop in Europe alone. Tests were carried out using the uranium series method on calcium carbonate samples collected from rock images in Kalimantan. Well, listener, that was news from Indonesia.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. The first information is about the inauguration of the 124th Japanese Emperor. Hirohito, or better known as Emperor Showa, was the 124th Japanese Emperor. He was appointed as an emperor on December 25, 1926, after his father, Emperor Taisho, passed away. Hirohito was officially inaugurated on November 10, 1928 in Tokyo. In Japanese history, he was the longest ruling Japanese emperor from 1926 to 1989. In addition, he was also a prominent figure during World War II and the man behind Japanese Restoration. His empire was known as the Era of Showa, meaning peaceful and bright. However, the name did not represent those values because Japan was involved in a war against China during World War II. The next information is about Heroes Day. Heroes Day is commemorated every year on November the 10th in Indonesia. This day is dedicated to commemorate the Battle of Surabaya, which took place on November the 10th, 1945. It was a war involving Indonesian army and militia who supported Indonesian independence against the UK and the Netherlands armies, who were part of the Indonesian National Revolution. The National Day was established based on the Presidential Decree number 316/1959 on December the 16th, 1959. The last information is about the first implementation of Ganevo in Jakarta from 10th to 22nd of November 1963. Games of the new emerging forces Ganevo, namely a sport event for newly developed countries, was a sport event established by the first Indonesian president, Sukarno, late 1962 as the competitor of Olympiade. Ganevo believed that politics could not be separated from sport. This was contrary to the principle of the International Olympic Committee, or IOC, which separate between politics and sport. Indonesia established Ganevo after the IOC's condemn against Indonesia's political decision, which did not invite Israel and Taiwan to participate in the Asian Games 1962. The decision was taken before Indonesia sympathized with China and Arabic countries. Due to the reason, the IOC postponed Indonesia's membership in the IOC and suspended Indonesia from joining the 1964 Summer Olympiad in Tokyo, Japan. It was the first for the IOC to postpone a country's membership. That was today in history.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila. Only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI VOI with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on 8 state FAO permanent representatives study Indonesian agriculture. Stay tuned. Permanent representatives from 8 member countries of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Agency FAO visited a number of regions in Indonesia from 31st of October to 3rd of November 2018 to study agricultural systems in the country. In a written statement from FAO received in Jakarta on Wednesday, November 7th, the delegation was from Algeria, Australia, Chile, Jordan, Nigeria, Norway, Thailand, and the United States. They visited two regions, namely Central Java and Bali, to witness FAO support for the Indonesian government's efforts in improving agricultural development. FAO's representative in Indonesia, Stephen Rugard, said in this field visit they saw firsthand how FAO works in the field and how FAO tries to work well with the beneficiaries and partners. The delegates visited Central Java to witness a demonstration of rice fish or mina padi in Sukoharjo district, which is an FAO collaboration with the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries and the government. Mina padi is a combination of agriculture and fish farming in one field. On that occasion, the participants from the 8 countries took part in harvesting rice and fish with farmers in Sukoharjo region, Wardoyo Wijaya. After Sukoharjo, the delegation also visited Yogyakarta to study a Ministry of Agriculture program supported by FAO and the U.S. International Development Assistance Agency, USAID, to detect and eradicate outbreaks of poultry diseases that also threaten the human population. The delegation visited a poultry market and a veterinary center in Wates, Kulon Progo. On the last day, the delegation visited Sibetan village, Karangasem, Bali, to study the salak or snake fruit agroforestry project proposed by the government as a globally important agricultural heritage system, GIAHS. The proposed GIAHS site includes landscapes that are rich in important biodiversity, which have evolved and adapted in harmony with communities in their environment. Salak farmers in Sibetan manage agroforestry systems by utilizing local wisdom and philosophy that has been passed down for more than 14 centuries from generation to generation. Head of Delegation, Permanent Representative of Nigeria for FAO, Dr. Yaya Adisa Olaitan Onlaniran, at the end of the visit, said that he left Indonesia with enough good memories of how cooperation should be carried out. The FAO delegation highly respects for the government, people, and FAO staff in Indonesia. That was My Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo presided over prevention to commemorate Heroes Day, which is observed every November 10th in Cukatra Heroes Cemetery on Saturday. Kian Intarich arrived at the cemetery at 8 a.m. local time. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo acted as an inspector of ceremony in the commemoration of Heroes Day. He led a wreath at the monument to the national hero and threw flowers on the graves of several fallen heroes. Vice President Yusuf Kala gave a briefing to 22 Indonesian prospective ambassadors to friendly countries. Antara News Agency reported that spokesman of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Nasir, said on Friday that during the briefing, Vice President Yusuf Kala encouraged the prospective diplomats to increase economic and trade relations. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, while attending United Nations Day 2018 at National Museum in Jakarta on Friday, emphasized that United Nations is still relevant with the life of many countries in the world nowadays, which is experiencing uncertainty. She also said that the theme of the UN's agenda, the UN asked, engaging people in realization of the 2030 Sustainable Development Agenda, has sought hope for all people elements that become part of the UN. Program specially for UNESCO Social Knowledge and Humanity Units in Jakarta, Irakli Kodelis said in Pekanbaru on Friday that the result of the series of UNESCO Most Academy will be taken to higher level, including to the government level. The Minister of Education and Culture will hold the 2018 Cultural Congress at the Minister of Education and Culture Senayan in Jakarta on 7 until 9 of December. Director General of Culture at the Minister of Education and Culture, Himar Faris, said that the Congress is a historical congress because it coincides with the 100 years after the first Culture Congress in 1918. Minister of Industry Airlangga Tarto and Director General of UN Industrial Development Organization UNIDO, Lee Yon, signed the 2016-2020 Country Amendment Program Cooperation. Minister Airlangga, through an official statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Friday, stated that the cooperation will be expanded such as related to cassava-based packaging activities, because sustainability is now the main issue in the circular economy concept. Indonesia held the first fact-finding mission on Switzerland FinTech or financial technology to Switzerland following a change in the economic and financial landscapes, as the technology offers various opportunities while increasing potential risk. The Indonesian embassy in Bern made the remarks in a statement received by Antara News Agency on Friday. FinTech is believed to be able to support the development, financial inclusion and efficiency, yet it can also pose risk to consumers and investors. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will take you to West Sumatra to enjoy the beauty of Ngalau Indah Cave. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, on www.voinews.id. Listener, West Sumatra is well known for its delicious foods and beautiful scenery. One of them is Ngalau Indah Cave, which is located on the slope of Simarajo Hills, Payakumbu. In the cave, there are stalagmite and stalactite, which are formed from lime deposition process, which has occurred hundreds of years. Listener, the excellence of Ngalau Indah Cave is that tourists can see panorama of Payakumbu city. Before entering to the cave, they will be welcomed by a big stone which has shape like elephant. Entering the cave, they will also see carved stones. Various kinds of shape and carved stones are given names in accordance with their shapes, such as chair, mosquito net, and bedroom. The tourists who feel fatigued or they want to stay longer in it to enjoy the beauty of the cave, they can stop for a while and sit on those stones. At another part, there is Tira stone, which has white color. The stone will reflect beautiful light if it is reflected by light. Listener, to enter Ngalau Indah Cave, tourists can enter from some gateway. Paths in the cave are not quite wide. There are flat and down paths and also stairs which are slippery and dark. So, the tourists should be careful. For tourists who first time go there, we suggest to carry flashlight and to be accompanied by tourist guide. To access this tourism object, for tourists who come from outside West Sumatra, they can be through Minangkabau International Airport. Ngalau Indah Cave has a distance around 100 km from the airport. The traveling time by motor vehicles is around 3 hours through Bukit Tinggi City towards Payakumbu City. The gateway of Ngalau Indah Cave is located at the left, around 4 km before Payakumbu City. Listener, after arriving at Ngalau Indah Gateway, you must continue your trip by motor vehicles around 750 meters. Around Ngalau Indah, you will enjoy old shady green trees while birds sing to entertain the tourists who pass over and over again. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Ngalau Indah Cave in West Sumatra. I'm Putri Savitradala. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Mr. Lenny, and this edition presents the topic of Indonesian language increasingly in demand by foreigners. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 3325 kHz or at www.voinews.id or through the RRI Play application. From year to year, the interest of foreigners to learn Indonesian or Bahasa Indonesia is increasing. In late 2017, Indonesian was studied in 45 countries around the world. Now, it is increasingly in demand in Saudi Arabia. The Indonesian Language Course for Foreign Speakers class, held by the Indonesian Consulate General in Jeddah, is always crowded with Saudis and expatriates living in Jeddah and the surrounding cities. The Indonesian Consul General in Jeddah, Muhammad Heri Saripudin, said the number of the program enthusiasts continue to increase from year to year. Previously, this program was held only once a year, but this year, the Indonesian language teaching program is conducted 3 times a year because there are many interested people who want to study. According to Consul General Heri, many participants wanted to learn Indonesian because they work in the area of serving pilgrims and umrah. The Indonesian Consul General in Jeddah held a second batch of the program for 2018, which was officially opened by the Indonesian Consul General on October the 15th. The opening of the course batch 2 was followed by 62 students consisting of 50 Saudis, 8 Yemen citizens, 1 Jordanian national, 1 US citizen, and 2 participants each from Mauritania and Pakistan. The chairperson of the organizing committee, Ahmad Sofyan, said within the next 2 weeks, 107 participants will submit the registration file. He added that the second batch of the program instructors were imported from Semarang State University in Indonesia as a result of the collaborative effort initiated by the Indonesian Consulate General in Jeddah with universities in the capital city of Central Java. In addition to Saudi Arabia, the University of Vienna, one of the oldest and largest universities in Austria, now opens an Indonesian language program for the winter class from October to January 2019 period. The Indonesian Embassy in Vienna said the initiated program by the Embassy in Vienna, supported by the Indonesian Ministry of Culture, and is open to students and staff of the University of Vienna. The Indonesian language program is currently open for beginners and intermediate classes. At the beginner level, learning focuses on mastering the Indonesian language for everyday conversation, while the intermediate class is more on grammar mastery and the development of reading and writing skills. This collaboration was initiated in 2017, while the inaugural program of Indonesian language teaching at the University of Vienna carried out in the summer period and was officially opened by Indonesian Ambassador to the Republic of Austria, Darmansyah Jumala, in March. Unlike the Indonesian language class in the previous summer semester period, Indonesian language classes this winter officially become part of the curriculum at the University of Vienna under the Department of Social Anthropology and Culture, Faculty of Social Sciences. It is expected that undergraduates and postgraduate students from various faculties and departments can take Indonesian language courses to obtain 3 credit points in the semester credit unit system applicable at the university, namely European credit transfer and accumulation system credits. Darmansyah Jumala said that the Indonesian Embassy in Vienna welcomed the official Indonesian language class in the curriculum at the University of Vienna. Indonesian language in academia and Austria society is needed to support research and higher education cooperation between the universities of the two countries. This is in line with the increasing trend of trade and investment relations between Indonesia and Austria. Well, that was Miscellany today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. See you.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you Audi. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Satu Jam Saja. Stay with us at www.voinews.id or frequency 3325 kHz.
Aku tak ingin berakhir. Satu jam saja, ku ingin diam berdua, mengenang yang pernah ada. Jangan berakhir, karena esok takkan lagi. Satu jam saja, hingga ku rasa bahagia, mengakhiri segalanya. Sudah tak berarti. Satu jam saja, itu pun tak mungkin. Tak mungkin lagi. Sebentar lagi, satu jam saja, izinkan aku merasa, rasa itu pernah ada. Jangan berakhir,
sana isang takan lagi satu jam saja hingga ku rasa bahagia mengakhiri segalanya.
Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Satu Jam Saja, sung by Audi. The song describes someone's hope to be able to get together with her lover, although only 1 hour. Togetherness is only to remember when they love each other. The song was released for the first time on April 16, 2016, and her first single. Paula Alodia Item, or well-known Audi, is the daughter of Indonesian jazz musician Jopi Item and Evi Aquinti Aziz. Audi began her career in Indonesian music industry by releasing some single songs, such as Menangis Semalam and Bila Saja. Those songs were quite successful in Indonesian music industry. Listener, let's listen to the next song.
Coba pikirkan sekali lagi sebelum kau tinggalkan dia. Apa yang kau cari? Aku tak
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Audi. Audi just sang a song entitled Lama Lama Aku Bosan. The song has pop genre, which was released in 2010 from the album entitled Selalu Terdepan. The song tells about someone who gets more attention and time from her close friend, not from her lover. The lyric of the song intimates if her lover does not give his time and attention, he could have lost his love. That's why love must be protected because heart can change. The ability of Audi's vocal is not doubted anymore. A number of awards in music industry were won by Audi. The awards are like MTV Indonesia Awards 2013 as the most favorite female, the best female pop solo from Anugerah Musik Indonesia 2013, and nominee as the best solo female from AMI Awards 2013. Well, listener, that was our segment Music Corner for today featuring Audi. To conclude our segment, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Menangis Semalam and Bila Saja. I'm Putri Safiri Adela. Thank you for listening and see you.
Jangan pergi saat ku datang kembali, tapi luka ini telah membeku tak mencair. Tahukah kamu pernah terganti. Kau ingin tinggalkan dia dan menyandingku kembali. Ini takkan adil untukku ataupun dirinya. Tahu
terluka dalam atau Voice of Indonesia. VOI.
Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.